Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast, episode 129. My name is Morgan McDonald, and I'm joined by my two lovely co-hosts, George Beamish and Oliver Hoare. And today we've got another exciting, exciting episode. I mean, today's going to be pretty straightforward. A few days ago, we had the 10 go down, so we're going to be covering that. And then we're very excited. I mean, there is a bit of other news to get into, but we're very excited to hopefully get to some more Coffee Cauldron today, give you guys some of our great, great famous advice, which we've been missing for a little bit. So got all that coming up. Before we get into it, well, shall we do the March Madness one first, the announcement for that?
Let's start there. March Madness week.
Yeah.
Big week.
I didn't know that until today. I can't even explain how big of a difference it makes in my life, like just living the way I do live now compared to in college. When I walked into the locker room, SportsCenter was just always on. So you just have this constant, like, all the storylines you're just getting kept up to date with. Now it's just whatever my Twitter algorithm gives me, which...
We did have a little...
Not much, man.
We did have a little, like, I think when we were in Sherman with Carlos and Zack Snyder living down in the basement, they always would have some sort of form of sport, whether it was college or not.
Carlos definitely kept us more up to date.
I feel like we were still like 1 foot in, and then now we're just completely out.
I was definitely caught by surprise a little bit when it was like, oh shit, time to make your bracket.
So what's the announcement? Oh, well, this announcement is late, right?
This announcement is late, but hopefully you already joined the Coffee Club
bracket.
What did Tom call it? The Gus Games?
Yeah, the Gus Games.
We're going to have some sweet prizes if you win. Maybe if you podium, but don't quote me on that. Maybe just if you win.
We have both a men's and a women's brackets, and I think the prize is some exclusive...
It's an exclusive time with George Beamish. You get 2 hours.
One-on-one.
Yeah, 2 hours of George. You can do anything you want. Yeah.
Coffee date skydiving.
Coffee date skydiving. George can make you bread and a cup of tea. I think that's like top three. And then top one, number one, you get a whole day with George.
Maybe I think they only get that if they get a perfect bracket.
Yeah, if they get a perfect bracket, they get a whole day. They get a whole weekend with George.
That's what I was going to say. What's your number, George, that you would comfortably agree to? Say, if someone in our bracket gets in the top 1% of brackets, is that... I mean, that's...
I was about
really
to say,
hard.
That sounds good, right?
But yeah. I don't know how hard that is, but that must be really
hard. I can't
wait
for that to happen.
Would you agree to 2 hours of one-on-one time with them?
Top 1%?
Yeah. On the ESPN.
All right.
Lock it in.
We've locked it in.
It's that sounds insane. I hope that's insane.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it is.
Last year on day one, my bracket was in like the bottom 6% or something.
Busted.
Mine was...
How do you pick your bracket?
Easily...
Do you pick it off like the cool logos, or do you pick it off like...
Definitely, I just have teams that I like don't like,
and you just don't pick them.
I'm pretty biased against Texas teams, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah.
So BYU obviously gets through to the Final Four.
Ooh, I was going back and forth on that BYU game. I feel like that was kind of a... because they're like a 6. It's like a 6-11, so it was actually kind of a... I think I did end up picking the Latter-day Saints to take that one. Otherwise, have you guys not made your records?
I'm going to do mine tonight. I've just been...
Who do you have winning?
I only have too many spoilers. Not going to say who I have winning.
Michael Smith, elite.
Cinderella picks. What do I have? New Mexico and McNeese State going pretty far, I think.
Where the hell's McNeese State from?
Who the fuck knows?
I was gonna say,
how's that possible to have like a school that's like this school's state, but then it's not an actual state?
Yeah.
Like, how's that possible?
I guess... is that just if it's a state university?
It's a state school in like a certain town.
Yeah. I was wondering. Maybe it's not even McNeese.
It doesn't
state.
Make much
it
sense.
It might just
to
be
either.
McNeese University. That's how little I know about that school.
No. I mean, there's other examples of that, so I think it exists. Can I ask you a silly question?
Go for it.
Is it just as impressive to make a really bad bracket as it is to make a really good bracket? You know what I mean?
We could do the opposite thing of where like we try and elim all of our brackets in the first like couple of rounds. Like that would be very impressive.
I guess everyone...
because there's always upsets in March Madness. There's always upsets.
Like if you were to get 0 points, that'd be...
so impressive.
I guess I'm not, sure you can bet on that. You only have to pick the first round correctly. You don't have to pick the other rounds correctly.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit easier.
Wasn't there a thing last year?
If you could pick every loser of the first round, that would be pretty impressive. So if anyone does that, then they get the same time, but with Ollie. If you get all. Wait, is there 60? No. 32 games on the first day?
It must be.
No.
Unless they made it bigger.
First round. I don't fucking know. If someone gets every single game wrong, they get to pack gas or something.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a pretty unreal prize. But like,
I think
wasn't there a thing last year where all the fifth seeds made it through to like the Sweet 16 or some shit?
That was there like was some something. Like normally like the 12-5 is like the most upset game. Mm. And I'm pretty sure last year I picked like all four 12s. Yeah. It's like, yeah, fuck, this happens every year. And then all 4-5 seeds won.
Yeah, I remember that. That was like a crazy stat. So like, it is kind of, and this... It is like a, you're kind of gambling. It is gambling, right?
There's a lot of gambling.
Yeah, a lot of gambling. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Why not?
Yeah.
I'm ready to be hurt again.
Yeah.
Bring it on. So check that out. Well, hopefully you've already checked that out on Instagram because
it's already NAU did not make it. That's damn it. Spoiler.
Damn it.
What is Mark Smith? How does he feel about that? I guess Nico was busy.
If Nico was on the team, they would have made it.
I think Nico was busy running around certain tracks. Then
that'd be the number one three-pointers in there. Young.
Yeah.
Put him in there.
Anyway.
Maybe next year.
Yeah. Where's Wisconsin Walks? I don't even know.
No, they're good.
What does their rank?
They're the five.
They're five.
So, yeah, big, that's shit. Upset territory.
Okay, here we go. All right.
We already upset it.
Didn't we?
Purdue.
Yeah, that's right.
Number one.
Yeah.
In the semifinals.
We should get Mick Byrne back on the podcast to kind of give us his picks.
His takes.
Yeah.
We should.
I'm sure he's involved in some way.
Definitely. He runs that place.
Yeah.
So that's the March Madness. We do have a lovely Bean shout out today. Thank you very much to Jake and the Sound Running crew for giving us this coffee from Skytop Coffee, which I assume, it actually says it's from Manlius, New York. Manlius, that's like a big high school team, I think. I don't know. But thank you very much, Jake. We assume that you are our supporter over on the inside of Sound Running because, you know, us and Sound Running have been through a lot. We've been through the thick and thin.
It's a fractious relationship.
We had a few cross-country meets not go so well, but then also a lot of other meets that have gone very well. So we're very welcome to support you guys, and we really appreciate these beans. And speaking of Sound Running and putting on some great meets. The 10K. We have to give them full credit for putting on another amazing 10K base meet as they've done in the past few years, picking up the slack from Peyton Jordan, which unfortunately doesn't exist anymore. But, I mean, this meet was awesome. I mean, I think going into it, we did a big preview. We knew it was the 10K to go to for most people to go and chase the incredibly hard 10K standards. And, I mean, I guess our expectations were met and exceeded. Ollie, you were the one that won in terms of your pick for how many people would break 27. Mm. I think what was the number, like 7 or 8 in the end?
It was 8. I feel like Ollie, did he say exactly 8? I thought you did say something like that.
I just knew he said like, I think we put an over and under at around like, is either like 3 to 5? And Ollie said he hopes it's over. And I said, I don't believe it'll happen.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, certain athletes weren't under that I wanted to be under. but I mean, I think from everything that we've seen, particularly with that meet, having the pacing lights, the weather seemed fantastic, the amount of talent that's currently in the US, and all the lead up to it, I felt very confident that we'd get a lot of sub 27s. And I definitely don't want to take away how hard that must be to run under 27. Like, it's still extremely hard, but having 8 people do it, pretty insane considering that, like, I remember when we were going through our little running careers when we were young.
I think it was 7.
7?
I think. Let me double check, but sorry. Continue.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Something about when we were going through our little running careers.
Oh, yeah. That, like, I mean, when Chris Linsky broke 27, like, it was insane. Now you have, like, 8 people doing it.
That was 8.
Yeah, 8 people?
Mm-hmm.
At the 10. It's, like, it's pretty incredible to see where, like, that event has come.
At least on the men's side, I feel like that's... Is that like the most people that have ever got the standard at that meet? Last year was only Woody and Joe.
Mm. Well, at this meet, definitely. I wonder what the record is for most people under 27 in any 10K ever.
I feel like that would be close. Yeah. Maybe there's a World Champs or an Olympics where like there were just so many guys running so quick. But I think it's a pretty incredible achievement.
It looked like a if you were feeling good, a pretty ideal setup to get it done.
Mm. A lot of people in that race, though.
A lot of people. But like,
it's a ridiculously long line.
In a way, there was so many people in it, but for a 10K, I feel like it almost doesn't matter, especially when the pace is set like so well.
Mm.
Like, everyone that that went through 5K in around 13:30, like, if you were going to... So the race was 1 in 27:52. If you were going to be, like, breaking 27, I think you probably had to go through, like, in under... In around at least, like, 13:35 feeling decent. And, like, there was just... There was a lot of space for people to be able to do that because you saw, like, the pack was massive, but then, like, there were people that fell off, and then those that were feeling good were able to just pretty comfortably, like, go around them and then stay up in that top pack and... be the ones that were still left there at the end when it was like those last two laps where the racing really got going. It was so impressive watching just all these different, like, because the 10K is so long and we like know all these athletes so well, but just see all these different like individuals pushing it towards the end of the race. I was loving seeing like Mo up there because I haven't seen him like pushing a race for a little bit. I was
Look good. He really closed the gap on the lights.
Like, yeah,
and
he got
looked,
it going.
It looked so easy to, I mean, like they must have got maybe 3 or 4 seconds behind the lights at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Mo went to the front, I feel like it took like a lap. And then he was just like right back on it.
Yeah, he got it going after like a slight lull. I was so impressed to see the collegiates up there. Like Hubtum Samuel, who I don't think we talked about before at all. I mean, we did mention him just as being like a collegiate going into it. But I didn't think he was going to be like pushing for the lead in the last K, which he was. I don't know if he was actually leading, but he was like pushing it. And then obviously you had Nico right up there. And then Grant, it was so funny because like Grant, we all knew what form Grant was in going into the race. Yeah, like game over. But he was just chilling the whole time. And
it looked so easy.
And we had Joe was like trying to sit on him, which is like such a smart move. I mean, because you know Grant's going to come out on top. But it was just funny that Grant didn't lead at all until the end. And like, he didn't need to.
And right? he's done a lot of leading in his time, so I feel like this one time. And he was like very in his interview, he was very appreciative of everyone that led it. He dealt with that pretty well.
Yeah. But still it was crazy to see Nico. I mean, that's probably like maybe the biggest storyline. 10K debut 1 week after doing the 3K, 5K double at NCAAs, coming back and fighting for the win against literally the other best 10K runners in America and just running such a crazy time. Collegiate record, 27:52, like strong.
26:52,
yeah. Strong.
I think it's probably solidified as one of the greatest indoor seasons from a collegiate distance runner, male collegiate distance runner ever, surely. So that's pretty incredible.
Well,
like, pretty
it already incredible. Was.
I mean, like, think of it. Think of his, like...
Do you count this as his indoor season, though? I think this is outdoor.
I still count as indoor, particularly as a season for an NCAA athlete, because...
But it ended at NCAAs.
But this is the thing.
I think you just count, like, these 2 months.
I think it's like some of the... I think you just got to count it, because, like, it's still an NCAA record, and it's in the winter season, technically. And if you look at it, like, okay, so he did that crazy mile in the dome, and then he just kept fucking crushing everything.
Well, he started even before that. His first race 1 week after NCAAs or 2 weeks after NCAA cross, it was already crazy impressive. It'd be you, the double that he did.
Do you remember? Oh, that's right. Yeah, 3K,
5K double.
I think you count it only because it's the indoor period.
Why don't we just call it something different? Because it's pretty arbitrary. It's just like the most impressive track
4 months.
Season.
The most impressive four months
for a collegiate. Yeah.
Just track season in general so far. And like, he doesn't even need to do anything more in outdoor track for it to be like just overall the most impressive track season.
I wonder what the ham and cheese bonus was for that 10K, George.
Did you post an Instagram?
That's not allowed.
He's not allowed to get a bonus from the ham and cheese.
Not allowed bonuses on in-house, right? Isn't that the rules?
I think that might be. I think it can't be.
I'm sure they'll put some meat and cheese under the door, surely.
Just a little bit of extra ham.
Yeah.
I did love that his caption was not like "see you at NCAAs." It was "see you at the Olympic trials." Means business.
Mm. I guess when you run 26:52, you think you can make the Olympic team.
When only three Americans have it now.
Yeah,
Woody snuck under there at 26:57. Maybe was he eighth out of those eight?
He was seven or eighth.
Along with the Flagstaff guys, looked good. Vildschut and Kurgat.
Bro, Flag's off really just looking too strong these days.
How many of those guys were in Flag?
Well, Andres Almagren.
Grant, Nico, Mo. Andreas. Has Bauman been there?
Yeah.
Mo.
Everyone except
Edwin.
Hubtum.
Seven out of the eight guys have been in Flag. Shit.
That's not fair.
That's a pretty good record from Flag right there.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest though, like how many runners are in Flag right now? Probably the whole population.
A lot.
Yeah.
But
in Boulder, what do you got? Just Ben Flanagan that came in
and us
and then Tim Man and then Boss Babes. That's it, right? Roots.
Yeah, but still
Flag still stuff still Flag stuff is still taking the crown, of course. But
yeah, do want to give a shout out to Andreas Almagren, third place Swedish record, which I think he broke it by about a minute. I don't know if he actually listens to the podcast or not. Maybe he did. I don't know if he does, but he's just been crushing it. He's like he's one of my, you guys know, one of my man crushes out there because we ran at World Juniors together back in the day, and now he's just been
lighted up. He's had a crazy few months.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
59:20 on the roads.
Yeah. Morgs, do you feel any certain way about not running that 10K? Because I imagine like you've had a lot of leading up training to it and then watching it kind of play out. Do you have any feelings towards it?
That's a big question.
Yeah.
That's a big question.
Because you were kind of like, I think it was like something that was exciting.
Yeah, it was. I was very excited.
So,
well, let me take a little step back and just fill everyone in, and then I'll work my way through it. So,
yeah.
When we recorded the podcast 1 week ago, I was not sure if I would race or not. And then, like, it was so funny because literally, like, after we recorded, I stood up and, like, my pelvis area didn't feel great. I'm like, oh, I'm not racing. Like, that was it. Because, like, on the run, I felt good. But then the fact that, like, just a few hours later, like, it felt more sore, I was like, that's not a good sign, not racing. So instead of racing, I went down to Phoenix for a few days to get treatment from John Ball, who I don't think we've talked about that much on the podcast, except actually one time I did visit him and I recorded from Phoenix when we were in Florida. So maybe if you listen back then, you kind of know the deal. But I got pretty intense treatment for a few days. So the body is feeling good. So injury update, working back into it this week. But yeah, things are looking pretty good. So yeah, I was very happy to make that decision not to race. And then watching the race itself it's tough because, yeah, the 10K is such a fickle event. You just don't get many opportunities. And the way it ended up working out for me in terms of timing was kind of just unfortunate. But I think overall, I think I'm very happy that I didn't race it. And I don't think it would have been smart to race it. And I don't think I necessarily would have been able to hang with that pack. So I think everything worked out very well for me.
See, I would have loved to see you race that 10K. I personally, I think... But obviously, like, this thing came up and you addressed it and you made the right choice, the smart choice. And then when I heard you're going to Phoenix, I thought, oh, he's going to Flag to get in 100-mile week training, just to sneak it in away from Ritz. But I definitely, when I look at that race and look at the results, I would have loved to see Morgs in there because I do believe that, particularly the past few months of training that you've done, it would have been pretty cool to see what you could have done. Because, I don't know, like, I feel like when you're... You can say certain things now, obviously not racing it, but when you get on the day and you're feeling good and you got a bit of a semi and you're ready to go, and I feel like in that certain situation with all those people around you more, because I feel like you would have rose to the occasion. So
it's so hard to say. Like, so
that's my opinion.
I don't know. All those guys that broke 27, like breaking 27 is so hard. Those guys are also amazing. So I'm not going to say I think I actually could have done it. I think
even running under 27:20 is still like incredible. Yeah, like, so I don't think we should take away from like.
No, it is incredible.
Yeah, and other performances, I just think it would have been cool to see you in there. In the next.
I think the battle with Jack Rayner.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was alluding to.
For the Oceania record would have been sweet.
Yeah. Do you need to give Rayner a big shout out?
That was huge.
27:09, which is the same time that Joe ran. Really funny story. After the race, like apparently Rayner was like asking Joe, like, oh, how'd you do? Like, what'd you run today? And like in the race, and Joe's like, yeah, I ran 27:09. And Jack's like, oh shit, I ran that as well. Like they didn't even know.
They didn't know they finished together.
They didn't know that they had finished next to each other. But yeah,
the great mustaches of the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a good performance from him to come over and do that. But my honest take is I think I don't think the race is going to be the same next year. Like I think this was a pretty special race, but I think in 1 year from now, I'll be ready to do good. Really, if I just keep training consistently,
you'll be ready to break 27 next year.
I'll be able to do this type of stuff. Yeah. Cause I think I would have been trying to break 27:20 in this race.
Yeah.
Like I think that's more where I would have been. That's more my battle. And it's like, what's the point, man? Just pull a Nico Young and then and just make that jump all the way up to sub 27, you know? Mm. So with that perspective, yes, like with the training I had, I really wanted to race and see how it would go and get the experience. But with everything that happened, I was
very the training glad. Is still there. It'll still benefit you in the next month or two or three or
that's
four.
That's the hope. That's the hope. So yeah, got to give a shout out to Ben Flanagan, who was with us last week, and he ran a really solid 27:20, and he ran it in a very, I don't know if there's like a tough way to run it. In some ways it's a tough way to run it, because he had to be like the ideal, probably who had the easiest race out of everyone was probably Grant in a way, just because I think he literally embodied go to sleep for like 9.6K. You know what I mean? He didn't he knew that like no one was going to be able to drop him. And all he had to do was think about like sticking on them. Maybe he had to pay a bit of attention to the lights in case like the pace like really got away from it. But I think he trusted everyone to keep it going. Ben Flanagan, he ran 27:20, and he ran like a pretty consistent 27:20. Like his splits, I think, were pretty consistent. He had a good close, but I think overall like pretty consistent. And it takes a lot to like mentally be able to be like, all right, the pace of the race, like the front is just like a touch too quick. Mm-hmm. And then you have to navigate like feeling it out on yourself, and you have to navigate. There's a lot of bodies coming backwards, you know, that you have to go around. Like you probably attempted to like sit on someone for a bit, but no, you have to keep your pace. Mm. And I think he did that very well. So shout out to him. What Keita had a bit of a tough one, because he went out a bit quick, and I think he felt the pace a little bit. Unfortunately, our boy Jonas did not have the best day. He said the pace just felt a bit quick. So that was tough to watch, but hopefully he rests up. His fitness is definitely there, and I know it'll come through at some point. So that's the OAC squad. But yeah, it was just another, just, I do love watching 10Ks, kind of in a similar way to watching like marathons. It's just like, just a long fight, you know, unlike George.
What about George? Did you like watching the 10K?
It was, this year with that many people actually racing at the front, it was like, that was a pretty entertaining finish.
There was a lot going on as well. Talking about some of the other like little mini storylines. One, Abdi just being like, fuck, gonna get down in 62, and just they sprinted so fast. Like that first 200, the whole field was ahead of the wave lights. Abdi was getting on.
He must have been really thinking about like not wanting to get caught in the 36 people on the line or whatever it was. Yeah.
And then Louis G took over the pacing for a bit in the first 5K, I think, like maybe 3 to 5K or something like that. It must have been later, because it was when
maybe right when the pace had dropped off. I think it was Abdi and then Luis for a little bit.
Yeah, he took over for a bit and then unfortunately ended up going backwards. I'm so, like those two.
Were they both in the 27:20s?
I think so. I think Abdi was a bit in front of him though. I don't know what Luis actually ended up running. But those two, I'm shocked, because I just think like they would crush the 10K just based on like common sense, you know?
Well, particularly being like in the Mike Smith.
And they train with Woody and I don't know how much they train with Nico actually, but.
What do you think that different? Do you think it's just like there's a slightly different physiology that makes you good at a 10K?
Dude, they were in Phoenix. They won in flag. They won in flag. Were they, George?
I don't really know. They have been spending some time in Phoenix.
Yeah. So like that's where's Nico been? Nico's been crushing races or in flag. So
that's the secret.
That's the secret, baby. It's flag stuff.
That's the secret.
George is trying to reboot all.
I think. Well, I mean, that was Luis's first race back from aside from obviously he paced some indoor race at UW, but it's still kind of crazy that he was just putting himself in a 10K for the Olympic standard, like first race back.
Not easy but to do.
Luis has no fear in any race, you can like see it in all his racing. Like he's not afraid to ever go to the front of like world final or whatever it is.
Very impressive. And I imagine that both those two have the mentality where it's like, well, if I can do it with these people in a 5K, why would I not be able to do it with them in a 10K?
Yeah.
But I guess it doesn't quite work like that.
No.
They seem like better 5K runners.
Yeah.
Still at this point.
The 5K and 10K is just two very different events, in my opinion. Like, you can see certain people that are able to double it, but I still think it's very different. Like, 5K racing now is like 1,500-meter guys, similar to Jakob's style, just crushing those type of races, particularly in championship races. Like, I think Luis is that kind of racer.
Yeah, well, there's always been just people who have more range and people who are more specific. Speaking of range, do you remember your quote, George?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the notes.
If he was going to run break 150 in 27 minutes within a month or something, it's pretty good.
Yeah, probably no one has even like tried to do that before.
No.
Jeez,
how old is he?
21, I think.
Man.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
I wonder what his contract negotiations are looking like right now. Lots of ham and cheese. Extra ham and cheese.
Extra ham, extra cheese. Extra.
I don't see him leaving the Mark Smith Collective or Flagstaff, so I'm sure his options are individual deals, not team deals.
Yeah,
probably. But like he's part of that. He's one of the high members of the cult.
Be hard to argue with what has obviously been working so well.
Mm. Yeah, if it's taking you all the way to this level, like world class, and it's already proven to work for professional runners. Like, it'd be one thing if he was running this well, but he was in some random college town where there's no pros.
Mm. Yeah.
But for him, it's just a seamless transition. Just
yeah.
Just he's already training with them.
Sync up with Woody, Abdi, and Luis. That's like a ridiculous group right there.
Yeah. So, man, I wonder who his agent is. Maybe I'll try to be his agent. That's probably going to be a lot of money. 15% of...
Is it not Haas? I thought it was Haas.
Coffee Club Agency?
Yeah.
Should we reach out?
Let's see. Let's put some feelers out. We'll see what comes back. But
we might need to do an agency license first. But
no, I don't think you do. Okay. Just skip it.
Oh, sweet.
Another good run by Mr. Wildershoot. Never know how to say his name. Adrian, sorry. Did you guys see that on the Track All Access YouTube page today, they posted an NAZ workout?
I did see that.
And I've watched it. And, dude, they're literally just doing, like, I don't remember where the coach comes from, but it's just Mike Smith training.
You think so?
Well,
like the hard 400?
Aspects on it. They do, because, I mean, I'm limited. I don't know what trainings everyone is doing, but I do know that Mike
Smith. It was a sweet workout.
Yeah, does this training. For their warm-up, they do jog, and then they do 1K threshold, 2x200 medium, and then a hard 400, all with like good recovery. And then they did a sweet workout of 3x2K, 1K, 400. And then in their cool down, to start their cool down, they do threshold as well.
Yeah.
Like, that's just Mike Smith.
There are some elements that seem familiar.
I really want to understand the idea behind all those different components of a big workout. Like, what's the idea of... Like a hard 400 makes sense to me at the start of a workout, because it just like it makes sense to try sprint when you're fresh.
Primes the body.
Get ready going. What's the idea behind the threshold after doing a lot of really hard reps?
I think like maybe getting your lactate would be kind of spiked and your whole body would be feeling it, right? So then if you can get into like kind of that tempo rhythm, go to sleep, back into threshold, your body's can adjust from being tired to hopefully feeling like it can control that sort of pace. Maybe it just...
A little transition.
Maybe it feels like it makes the threshold feel harder, but not is necessarily harder. Like your body's just...
I think there's probably elements of that. I've never heard it from the great man himself, but I think it's got to be something to do with like if you're in... Like if you're talking, because they only do it off like specific VO2 sessions. It's not like you add it on after just any old session. So it's like whenever you're at your most, not even fatigued, but I guess like, you know, the highest you'll ever push your lactate and the hardest you'll run. And then maybe instead of just going from like the hardest rep you run all season to a 10 minute jog, you kind of just like do something in between to like flush the legs out a bit.
Mm.
Instead of just going to a...
Could be a good recovery
to
process.
A sprinter jog.
Infinite threshold. More threshold.
Mm.
Threshold solves everything.
Yep.
I would rather do a mile of threshold and then a shorter cooldown. For sure.
Same.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at you saying that.
Same.
Me and Ollie had the cooldown chat a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm so used to, like, 3 mile cooldowns. It's just like... But it is a lot. Like, when someone like Ben Flanagan comes and he's just like, yeah, I'm just going to run 10 minutes. I'm like... Wow, that does sound pretty good, actually.
Mm.
That does make sense. It does sound nice. So, I would love to try
it. It was an impressive workout. Adrian was just working those dudes by the end.
He was chilling.
Adrian Winterfell.
Yeah. He was chilling. So, I mean, then he goes and crushes some races. So, it makes sense.
It all checks out.
Yeah.
New coach is working out pretty well there.
Yeah.
They're running good.
They're going. Yeah, and Owen wasn't even there for that workout. He was too busy.
T-Day was there, though. Did you see him in the background?
Yeah, doing laps.
Doing some laps or maybe even a stride in there.
Good to see.
Good to see T-Day.
Do you reckon you could be a good coach if you just copied other coaches' workouts?
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Probably.
You just got to get that role and then you just take other people's shit.
Yeah.
You just have a Strava membership and then you just scroll Strava.
So yeah. I mean, that's honestly it now, really.
Find some workouts. Just adjusting paces if your athlete doesn't run 26:50.
Especially if you're in Flagstaff, I feel like there's a lot of sharing. I feel like you could be a good coach in Flagstaff without ever actually coaching your athletes. You could be more of a like a
mentor
coordinator where you're just like, all right, you're gonna go work out with these guys this squad today, and then this today you're gonna go work out with these guys. I'm not actually gonna be there, but just
I do think everyone in Flagstaff does the hard 400 and threshold mile to finish.
Mike Smith, man.
There's definitely multiple.
Did Mike Smith invent that?
I've never heard of it before. I don't think I'd ever heard of anyone else doing it.
Mm. He's invented a lot of things, like going to sleep. Mm.
So, that's the men's race.
Yeah. We should give just a quick one sentence injury update on Joe. I guess he didn't talk about it before, but after the race he did mention how he had a bit of a pelvis thing like a couple of weeks ago, holding him back in training for a few days, or like a week actually. Well, actually, maybe more. But update on him, pelvis is feeling good. Post race. But he gets to take a bit of easy time now because this is kind of like his mid-season break in a weird way. Even though it's not the mid-season at all. But yeah, he gets to take it easy. Like that was scheduled anyway for this time. So he'll be very ready to go once the outdoor racing gets going again. But yeah, women's race. This one was just not quite as deep. And then big drama from where we stand, where it was just like Alicia and Sagay just getting on the pace, which we knew was going to happen. And then suddenly Alicia starts dropping back and it's like, what the hell is happening? And then she dropped out. And I was a bit concerned because I didn't know what had happened with her. Mm. And then you find out that she had some bad stomach issues, which is very unfortunate.
I apparently heard that she ate at the same diner or place that Carmella had eaten at a few years before. And Carmella also had the same stomach bug issue. So whatever that diner is, that should be
don't go there.
Like the Whole Foods Hot Bar in New York, do not go there. Yeah, that sucks. I mean, like she was in there for like a good, so it's like 6400, I think.
That's
she dropped
when
out.
She dropped out, but she dropped off
she
the
was
pace.
On the pace for only nine for minutes earlier. Maybe 10 minutes so, and it was the kind of thing where she wasn't running it to get the standard, so it's less of a concern. Like she was running it to break either through. Run insanely fast and do something spectacular, or it made sense to drop out. Like there's no point like finishing it and not running super good.
Yeah.
Or even trying to get the standard, which just wasn't required.
Yeah.
So she'll be all good.
Yeah, I think she'll be fine.
She seems pretty good.
Just tough to see. But then Sagay came through in a big way. OAC extended edition. Sagay ran, I think it was a women's all-comers, like, soil American record of 29.48. Was it?
Yeah, that sounds right.
29.48. And she looked amazing as well. Mm. She had to, I was almost frustrated. Like, I don't normally get frustrated by this, but the amount of people that she had to go around was unreal. Yeah.
We needed Ben's invention.
Yeah, we needed that. Because, I mean, on the men's race, I felt like after it, I like was looking out for him. People were like moving around. In the women's race, I don't know why. Like people were not moving out. And she was overlapping, like not everyone, but how much of the field? Like 70% or something? Unreal. But then these other women were running really quick as well. But Sagay was just absolutely crushing it, running an unreal time. I think it takes her into like top 10 all time, 10Ks territory. I think like 6 or 7. I'm kind of just making that up. But I think it was something like that. So, she's been training with us for a little bit. So amazing to see her have that success. And then there was so much like, because it was so split up, the race, there was so many different like things happening. And because they were trying to run so much quicker than the standard, because the standard was back at 30:40, and they set the pace for 30 flat. So there were so many other interesting storylines. And were you guys watching when Wayne just took off?
Yeah.
he was like so dramatic. So Wayne was back in the second pack, and then she's like, I think the 30:40 wave lights were a little bit ahead, and she's like, fuck this, I gotta speed
now or
up.
Never.
She just dropped it. She ended up coming second, I believe, in 30:33, looking amazing. And then another Australian record, Lauren Ryan, running
That's 30, huge.
35, which was just like, I mean, she's been crushing it like all indoors and stuff, but to have that success, like run a time like that, the Olympic standard was absolutely amazing. And then the other big like kind of breakout race was Megan Keith, who I don't really know anything about her, but they talking about how she's British and like super young, I think. I think she's like only, I don't know, but she hasn't raced much and her progression has been crazy. Now I think she came fourth, 30, 36. So it was like just a lot of, they were kind of packing up those other women behind her, behind Sige, but it was a lot of like solo tough running on the women's side. So
I think I was telling Ollie awesome that Australian record was, what did I say? 21 years old. Yeah. It was 2003. Yeah.
2003.
That's from like some, one. Like a world champs 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Just sense. Crazy.
Yeah.
That's super impressive.
It was very impressive to see. So good for her, I guess. Just coming out and just crushing it. Australian records on both races. Hopefully over in Australia, they're celebrating. Because it was like...
ABC does a good job of covering that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't know if there'd be much traction. Sometimes it gets lost in being overseas, but yeah, good thing to see that. I feel like with those like that type of meet, it's not necessarily new because of Peyton Jordan and stuff, but like it's good to see like a lot of international presence taking advantage of that type of event and then like really pushing that standard higher and higher. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, there was a lot of hype about the Japanese guys. There were like 9 Japanese guys in the race or something.
Yeah.
Who was the top finisher?
I didn't even see. I don't think any. Well, none of them.
None of them got the standard.
None of them were ahead of Joe, I don't think.
Really?
So, I don't know. Maybe the pace was just a little bit too hot. I mean, the Japanese running calendar this season is so weird because they
run crazy 10Ks in like November.
Yeah. Like. When they're getting ready for their big accident. So
yeah,
I think it's just hard for them.
Like, it would be great if we could now tell people how the ranking system was looking after this for people, but I think we absolutely cannot. I have no idea how.
Well, yeah, so Joe is on, now that 3 Americans have the standard in the 10K, Joe's in like a situation which is, it's kind of sucky because it's essentially out of his control. Like, he's not going to go race another 10K. I do believe that he will get through. But from what I know, he's like the top guy on ranking. But I think right now there's only 3 people qualifying based on rankings. I think it's 3. So that's taken into account.
3 everyone, out of 27, right?
Yeah.
Like field size.
Taking into account everyone who has the standard and then the 8 cross-country spots. Those 8 cross-country spots are just seeming more and more ridiculous.
Like, you reckon, like, how does that, could people forego those spots and they could open up for Joe or like other athletes?
That's
in Joe's
what I asked him, because I think that happened last year. Not all the countries accepted like cross country spots as counting, but he said for the Olympics he thought like more would take them. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's pretty questionable.
It is a questionable thing because like if those people, those cross country spots go to people that haven't run any 10Ks and it's just for purely cross country, it just like doesn't make sense to me in the sense of like, it's a 10K on the track at the Olympics. Like,
if they're giving people, if there's 8, that's a...
8's a lot too.
8 out of 27 is so many. Yeah, if they're giving like those...
2 to 4 or something.
Yeah. Then if they were going to do that, I feel like then every spot should just be on ranking.
Yeah, or they should just like make the cross-country season not so stupid. Like, just make it so that people can actually like run it. You know, it's just like no one can, like we just... Do you know how hard it would be for us to go and do 3 cross-country races for just logistically? Like, you just have to go over to Europe and just like when we're trying to do track races. It's just really annoying. And it's crazy because I think Joe's actual 10K ranking, I think, is like 8th. Mm. I think he's like 8th in the world. He's just like top 10. And like he might not qualify on rankings, which just seems like such a, yeah, the system.
Flawed.
Has some issues.
Serbia needs to.
But I believe because I just don't think there's going to be like 1 or 2 probably big 10Ks in Europe, and I guess people can also run it on the roads, but I think a lot of people who are going to run it have already run it, like the time, so I don't know, I believe, but yeah, I guess we'll see at the trials, because that'll end up having a big impact on Joe, because if it ended up looking like he wasn't going to be able to qualify, he just wouldn't run the 10K at the trials, which would be crazy.
That would be crazy.
He'd have to go all in on the 5, so we'll see what happens, but yeah. Some other notables from the meet. Drew Hunter, big 10K debut, winning the B heat in, what was it?
27.38.
It was 27.38?
It's damn good.
That's
really
such a
good.
Fast time. So fast.
Looked like pretty comfortable too.
Yeah, he looked good.
For a guy that I feel like a year ago, he was on like the train of, all right, only 1500s from here on out. Like he's like, gave the 5K a go. He's like, all right, now I'm going back to 1500.
Yeah, he's kind of taken the, like in the last few years, he keeps changing his mind. Because I thought his plan all along was the 5K. Like he was running the 1500 in anticipation of becoming a 5K runner, like as a pro.
Yeah.
And then he didn't really race as many 5Ks. Raced more 1500s. And now he just skipped it up to the 10K and then looks really good crushing it. I didn't actually see this race, so I didn't see like what their splits were. But I imagine he probably had a decent negative split with it, like closed pretty strong. He looked good, which is like definitely the nice way to run a 10K, I think, especially as your debut. So shout out to him. I mean, we see those guys training a little bit. We know he's been putting it in. I mean, he's kind of cheating because he's got that dad strength, but very happy to see Drew crush it like that. And then there was the 1500, who I think Bauman went 1-2 in, but probably or perhaps the most notable thing was in the post-race interview, I think Centro announced that this will be his last year.
Mm.
So now he's on his retirement tour. He came, he ran 338. I don't know what he came.
Mid-pack, maybe. Mid-pack. It was 1 on 337.
Yeah. So this is...
the retirement tour.
Yeah.
End of an era, really. How old is he?
30... You know, not a question that I know the answer to, but he's been winning medals since 2011, I think.
Really?
I think in 2011 he either came third or fourth or fifth, one of those, like at Worlds. In
I think that sounds right.
Yeah. He's been crushing it for
he
a while.
He got bronze time. Somewhere at Worlds and then fourth at...
Fourth
in London, right?
2012, yeah. And then a few other medals along the way, including the big one.
The big one, yeah.
So it is crazy to see. And yeah, obviously he's been a bit more quiet in the last few years with injury and all that. It was interesting to see his few years at Bauman when he ran a 13-minute 5K. I think everyone thought he's like was going to fully commit to the 5K, which unfortunately didn't end up happening. Would have been very interesting to see.
Mad respect.
But yeah, just like an unreal career. Hopefully.
His career heralded the start of the super shoot and 329 era.
I feel like his career also caused the let's just fucking sprint the 1500. Because like after him winning in Rio, people just like, fuck this. I could just go and run 332, 333 and I might not win, but I'll still medal. And then everyone else just started doing it. But
because he never broke 330. I think his PR was 330.
Didn't need to.
Well, that's the thing is like if you're in the position of a 1500 meter runner professionally, Centro's career is like kind of what you dream of.
Yeah,
he's medaled in like mostly like indoors, outdoors, and the Olympics. Like,
yeah,
you'd be lucky to make a final for one of those things, but to medal in those three different arenas, pretty incredible. I have a lot of respect for Centro. He's also fucking hilarious.
I wonder what his PB would be if he was like 21 right now. Mm. You know what I mean?
I reckon he'd be 28, 29.
Yeah.
I reckon he'd be similar runner to Josh. I think very similar. I think the running mentality of Centro's like amazing racer, very smooth. But he hasn't even been that many fast races.
He had one go at the American record in the mile.
That was recent, wasn't it? Like last year?
That was not
years ago.
Super long ago.
I don't remember.
2 years
that.
Ago? Mm. 3 years ago.
He ran pretty quick though still. He ran
like, I think he ran 349. But it just was the kind of thing that like I don't think he was that invested in running super fast.
Well, that was kind of the whole thing. Because even if you look at like the Oregon project, it's like I mean Mo Farah, yes, he ran fucking like 328 or something in the 1500. But considering how good him and Galen were, like their 5K times not that crazy.
Not that crazy.
Even though Mo won. Did he win back-to-back gold medals in the 10K? And I think his 10K PB was like in the 26:40s.
I think that sounds right.
The interesting thing is like we had Craig Mottram on a few episodes ago and he talked about how like his fastest 5Ks were in championship racing. They just never went out and went to crush certain races like that those days. So it's very different environment.
It depended who you were, I guess.
Yeah.
Because there was still a lot of... Like that's when some of the world records were set. Like, well, no, even before that, but... Like there were some people running quick, but then there was like a bunch of guys like them, like Legat. I mean, Legat also ran crazy times, so actually he's not a good example.
But it was the same kind of time timeline.
Yeah. But yeah, so.
How do you think he's going to, his retirement tour is going to go?
I hope he makes the US final.
That'd be sweet.
I think like that'd be the big one, like especially like at Hayward Field, you know?
I think making the team is slightly too big of an ask.
Don't say that in front of Mario.
Yeah, but
Mario was like making bets. Do you remember last year that he was like
honestly, like money that people called him out. The like in Tokyo, they called him out saying that he's not going to make it, and he almost won. So
he did almost win.
I would just say like him making the US final must be his main goal. But then after that, just have fun with it. You just never know. But
hope he goes to some random races.
You want to see him at
Where do I want to see him?
What's the meet that you put on your
Sir Walter?
Yeah, Sir Walter Mile, just crashing out there. Yeah.
Where will he finish? What's the last race of the year?
Actually,
they just.
There's not really that is actually.
Sound running cross country.
There's not really a good one to finish on as an American based, like as an American legend.
Back
in Hawaii,
the Mary Mile.
Yeah.
He was there last year.
It's not a good one. Like we need some. He needs to just put on his own.
I was about to say, it almost needs to be his own. We need like a farewell meet.
I could see him doing that.
And it's and it has to be one in 350. No one's allowed to run faster than 350 in the 1500.
Big kick down.
Yeah. Just for old time's sake.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch some of his. I don't know if there are many videos out there, but I know he's done some cool, crazy like workouts and racing stuff back in the day. Do you remember when he did? He did like some 800s back to back.
Oh, that was before he won in Rio. He did like a crazy 800 workout. That was the racing, wasn't it?
I think he did like a race. I think he did like one or two of them as races. And then
he recreated it in 2021 at Portland Track.
Yeah.
He ran in all three sections of the 800. Yeah. But I think that was a recreation of like the 2016 legendary workout.
Yeah, it was just crazy.
Love that shit. So yeah, shout out to Centro. So excited to see.
We'll get him on the pod after it all. After all of it's over.
I'm surprised he hasn't been on the pod yet.
That would be sweet.
He doesn't really come to these neck of the woods. Does he live in Park City?
He lives in Park City, Utah.
He just trains there, does he? Or does he go to
In Phoenix with those guys.
He was in Phoenix. I heard him talking in his interview. He's just saying like he likes having the freedom just to jump around, just hop in different workouts. Like he says he just like knows essentially what he needs, and he'll just like link up with people when he wants to.
At that stage of your career, it's like
you have to just coach himself.
I think so. I don't know if he has someone else like helping guide him, but
maybe his wife
mostly. Is he married now?
Mm-hmm. He is married.
Congrats.
Yep.
So, how do you boys feel about a little bit of coffee cauldron?
I think that's a great idea.
It's been so long. Let's get him going. Get your advice hats on your heads. Let's get them going. All right. I don't know what these are going to be like, but we'll see.
Hey, guys. This is Enrico, originally from Italy, Sago Cinta, although now I live in Rwanda, and I lived in Ethiopia before.
Wow.
Well, first off, obviously, congrats on the pod. It's always wonderful to listen to you guys and to watch you on YouTube, especially. My question pertains to injuries. So I started running 3 years ago, although my background is in cycling, and I predictably started getting very injured very quickly and have been struggling with some recurring problems ever since. So my question to you is, if you live somewhere where you don't have good immediate access to like physios or doctors that have good background and experience in running, what can you do? What are your suggestions for how to try and find people that can help me while I live a continent away?
It's a good question.
Lives in Rwanda. That's sick.
Yeah. First off, ciao Enrico. Come stai? It's a really good question, and we have someone very, very well equipped to answer it here in George, because I think George, I mean, does he get less treatment? He definitely gets less treatment than me. Probably maybe even less than Ollie. For like, George has mastered the ratio of like, actually gets not that much treatment and stays like pretty healthy. So he's got some strategies that I think he's developed over the years.
That's a lot of pressure. I mean, I do still have access to some people we think are very good. Yeah, that's a tough one. I think I still feel like I do a lot of self-educating on the internet in terms of like just things I get suggested a lot of. I feel like the algorithm knows that I like
mobility hacks.
Mobility pages and stuff. I always get freaking suggested a bunch of those. Just like new exercises to try. But I would say, yeah, I mean, so no access to any kind of outside help makes it, yeah, pretty difficult. But I think if you, this kind of thing, it kind of depends what reoccurring means. Hopefully that's not meaning bone things. I'm guessing it's probably like knees or tendons or Achilles or something, which means mostly I would say anywhere in terms of like, you know, motion is, what do they call it? Motion is medicine. Keep things moving, motion, keep things loaded. Like I would just try and get strong in areas that that you're not, or that are troublesome areas, and strength and mobility in areas that you think could use it is always just like a good baseline to help. Like if you're something to do with your knees, like strength and mobility in hips and in your ankles, I feel like that's like a good baseline if you can't get outside help.
Definitely.
I don't know. Well, what can you add to that?
One thing that I kind of noticed is like I would have a tendency to like really rely heavily on like physios or whoever it is outside for help. And then you come to learn that like they don't always know. And so there's a lot of, they'll do a lot of experimenting. So I think you have to be okay with yourself also experimenting. I don't think you can become like an expert necessarily on these things, but you can somewhat become an expert on yourself. So if you can really try to think about it a bit more analytically, like pretend, yeah, have a bit of like distance, pretend you are kind of like your own physio if that's what you need to be, and try and be a bit more analytical with it. And I don't know, maybe video yourself running, and like if you have a sore knee, maybe if you see the video of yourself running, like there is something that like stands out to you that you think like you should work on, because you can work on all these different things. And I think often it is, yeah, a matter of just like chipping away and experimenting with different things, and then you can find stuff that helps you. But it takes a lot of like dedication to do it, because I think it's hard to be like constantly thinking about this type of stuff, and it's not good to like constantly think about it. But if you can have these sessions that you dedicate towards trying to help with it, I think that's a good way to try and go about it. I don't know. I'm not very good at like self stuff though, to be honest. Ollie, you got any thoughts on this one?
No, no comment.
But yeah, best of luck with it, Enrico.
Yeah, best of luck.
That's tough, man. It's very tough to, yeah, to try and solve all this stuff on your own. It's very tricky. What else do we got?
Hi, Coffee Club. This request for advice is for George. It looks like we have very similar hair. It looks like you often run in a bun, which is pretty stable and it looks pretty good. And I've never been able to make a running bun that kind of stays put. It always feels like it's flopping and it's going to fall out. So I was wondering if you could provide some step-by-step instruction on how to make the best running bun.
Such a good question.
That is a good one. I would say, all right, I got a couple of things for you. I think I have a like the way I put my hair tie on, Jenna thinks is really weird. Like I don't know if it's like
non-conventional.
Unconventional, yeah. Maybe. I think cuz I do it like if I'm putting it up and I got to half do it. And then like if I get a bun going and like I feel like someone normally, where I think girls do it, they put like the whole ponytail through the whole thing and then twist it and put it all the way back around again. I don't think I'm explaining that very well.
This is so above my pay grade.
But I just do it right on top of the bun. Not like, I don't pull the whole ponytail through before I make a bun. I just make a bun and then do a triple loop on top of it. instead of the pull through. Because if I pulled it through, it would feel super unstable. But also, I wear a hat every single day, so that helps the bun stay in place. If I'm easy running, or if I'm running at practice, it's a bun and a hat pretty much every time. And then racing, go half up, half down. But same tactics, or same technique for putting the half up. What's it called? Tied. But yeah, not pulled all the way through. That's the unconventional part. That keeps it stable. And don't wash it.
Don't wash your hair.
Because I think that keeps it not as slippery. Makes sense. It's kind of knotted and maybe not super conditioned, and then it doesn't slip out.
It's worth it though. Ollie, you get some good lessons out of that?
Yeah.
We might need to break that down in a hair tutorial for the Instagram or something.
I'm sure
that'd be funny.
I'm sure Tom Wayne can organize a reel.
Yours is almost.
Yeah, but I've never
tieable.
I don't know if my head just is a different shape. But
it curls so much, I think you'd need it.
I just think it looks stupid with it as well, so it's also a factor. I don't think I could pull it off. Maybe one day. Maybe one day my hair will get that long. We'll see. All right, number three, what do we got?
Hey, Morgan, Ollie, Jordy, most importantly, Gus. Jack here, also known as the San Diego aerobic enthusiast. Thanks for all the help you
Discord
gave me last week with the rest day question. I'm actually using that rest day to record this question. So I've got a predicament here for you boys. It ties together the longing for love a man seeks from a woman with the pursuit of 5,000 meter greatness that I felt only the Coffee Club boys could solve. Basically, while I was out on this internship a couple years ago, I met this girl and I thought she was cute. I asked her out, we went on 2 dates, but then that was that. We clearly didn't vibe together, but today I realized that she's the daughter of a prominent American distance running coach. Now, while we were very much a not good fit, and she lives on the completely opposite side of the country, I still have her number. I'm reaching out today to the Coffee Club boys to help me write up my first text or communication to her in over 4 years, as self-coaching has left me at a plateau in 5,000 meters, and I need her dad to coach me. I mean, the guy's done wonders with Eric Holt. Imagine what he could do for me. Thanks in advance for the help, and have a very Ritz day.
Amazing. Mr. San Diego hobby jogger, Discord legend.
So it took a turn right at the end. Yeah. From what I thought it was going
to
be.
Before we get into this amazing question, I have to shout him out on the Discord. He got a couple pictures. He was at the meet, got a couple pictures with Grant. And Grant, he was wearing his OAC jacket. And I think Grant made him cover up the OAC logo to get to take the picture with him for one of them. Or he made a joke about it.
That's pretty funny.
So, yeah. Grant's our enemy, I guess. I don't know. But another amazing question. Such a good voice. We just need him to join us on the podcast frequently with that voice like that. But wait, what is the name of Eric Holt's coach? Do you guys? I know, I can picture him. I can picture him. So
Tommy Nohilly, right, or something. like that.
I've always been. Yeah, I think that's his coach. So yeah, we have an idea of what's going on here. That's a big ask, though. To reach out to a girl, did he say 4 years ago it was?
Yeah.
And he wants to ask her to ask her dad.
To coach him.
To coach him across the country.
That is a big ask.
It's a tough one, man.
I don't know if the girl is really required in this situation.
Well, I mean, how else is he going to access this amazing coaching, though?
True. I think that's the predicament, right?
Yeah. He wants to get to the amazing coaching, but has the obstacle, the hurdle to jump of a previous relationship that didn't go
well. I think relationship is a stretch. It was 2 dates.
Yeah.
So I think my perception of it is that he had 2 dates with this lady and didn't work out, and it didn't seem like it ended on bad terms either. It's probably pretty amicable. And then he's now in a position where he's looking for a coach, and her father is an amazing coach. So he wants to use that connection to be able to help his running career. So I think personally, if he's very upfront with that message and just says his predicament, because to be honest, just not to crush that many hopes. If he's in charge of a professional running team, he's probably not going to have time to coach you. Like, that's just reality. Like, if Ritz was getting text messages from random people, which I'm sure he does, about him coaching them, he's just not going to have time. He doesn't even have enough time to coach us. So I would say don't keep your hopes up too high.
That's great advice.
I would say
lower those expectations.
Lower the expectations, but there's no harm in asking. And I would say for a coach in that stature, you're probably going to have to offer some financial compensation. Mm-hmm. And even if you offer him a goal, like, for example, it's a 5K goal, you could say, I'm running a 5K in 6 months. I was hoping you could coach me for 6 months. I'm willing to pay you for that 6 months. And it doesn't have to be that hands-on coaching. It's more of just like maybe a structured week-by-week kind of schedule. And you just be upfront with the girl that he was involved with. And if you're upfront about that, yeah, maybe. But I would say expectations, don't keep them too high. Because professional coaches, I mean, I don't know how big Empire Elite is, but I'm sure it's a decent-sized squad. And I'm sure he's got a lot of shit on his plate. So
they do crazy training too.
They do, yeah.
Crazy sprinting. I would say get her to, maybe she knows how to coach.
I think that's a terrible
rekindle.
Idea.
She can coach.
Terrible idea.
And she can just ask her dad for some tips. And then she can just coach you.
But then that, like, that relationship would just be so awkward, wouldn't it?
Well, not if like.
It has been 4 years. It's been a decent amount of time.
Yeah, things change. I look at it as, yeah, there's two very big obstacles here. You got to think about the first one first, is getting through the door. So how are you going to construct a message? Because, I mean, put yourself in the shoes of his past lover. Not lover, but you know what I mean. Previous, I don't know. Like, if I got a message from someone who, like, was a friend from, let's just say a friend from 4 years ago, dude, I mean, if it's tough to receive a message from someone from so long ago where all they like, it's they just want something from you and they have nothing to give you. You know what I mean? I think you need to think about how you're going to get over that part first. Like, just, I guess you can just be upfront with it and then it'll just make sense. But I think you really need to do a bit of smooth talking and stuff. And, I don't know. You got to.
So it doesn't seem like you're just trying to use her.
Yeah, which is going to be really hard to get around. So maybe you have to, I don't know, rekindle the relationship, go on a couple of dates first. Like, that'd probably be the best way.
That'd be worse.
Well, no, I'm just talking about the long game. I'm just talking about the long game.
But he's gonna lead this lady on, which I think is even worse.
Well, that's not good. But he didn't. I mean, he said later on. He clearly, I guess, he said it didn't end well. Yeah.
Well, it's not that it didn't end well. I don't think the...
He said they weren't a good
match.
The goal
of him rekindling a relationship with a woman shouldn't be, oh, I want her dad to coach me and then I'll just dump her after I'm done.
It seems like a good premise for like a movie though.
And then they fall in love actually.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but like
that's
think...
essentially what happened.
I think it's an uphill battle.
We don't live in Hollywood, unfortunately. And even though I've tried and that doesn't exist. It's not real. So I would say the best thing, my advice would be to be very upfront with the message. And yes, I think expectations should be low because, like you said, Morgs, if you had somebody reaching out after 4 years asking or needing something from you, it's not the best thing.
Yeah, I was looking for some like fairy tale Hollywood like love story playing out here, but you're right. I think it's a bit of a reach.
It's not a good premise if you're like, oh, I'm just gonna like date her for a little bit so I can have her dad coach.
How do you know that there's no women locally that have fathers that are good coaches?
I mean, so he's just going to go on like the dating apps and his first question is like, please go on a date with me if your dad's a good running coach.
Because, there's a bit of a barrier there anyway, like for everything like coaching and stuff, like San Diego to New York is not ideal. Mm. Maybe there's a local option.
Do men do the Axe and Hammer training still?
They do.
He could reach out to them. I'm sure they have programs there as well. I'm just thinking of alternatives if it doesn't work out.
What about coffee club coaching?
George?
Gus?
I mean, Gus could coach, but a lot of it would be sleeping.
Yeah.
He's got the recovery.
He's got the recovery
nailed
down bad, yeah.
Really got that down. Just need to work on the training next.
Coffee club coaching is still in what's it called? In beta?
That's alpha. Let's take a step back. It's in alpha. It hasn't even made it to beta phase yet. We're working on it. But Mr. San Diego, apologies if that didn't really help you that much, but we just, you know, we're just trying to help you out in terms of your emotions. We don't want you to get too heartbroken or anything like that. So I think expectations low and just fire it off. Go for it.
You
know what?
You only live once. If you feel confident with your message or if you've formed it out and sent it through.
Just do Mike Smith workouts.
Yeah, I was going to say, if that doesn't work, then just copy whatever you see on the internet.
Yeah, just get us.
Or come to us.
Get a Strava subscription.
Yeah, just follow Joe and then just do whatever Joe's doing. He's broken 15. So.
It's true.
Training works. I think that's it for today. Do we have anything else to cover? Anything that we missed?
I think we hit all the notes.
Mm-hmm. Notes have been hit. Well, with that in mind, I think that's it for episode 129. Some nice chatter today. Us boys, Ollie and I, actually, we're going to be around for one more week, but then we're heading down to Aussie land next week. So, you know.
Yeah, we got kicked off the team. So we're going home.
We're going home. We got kicked out of the country. Not just the team.
Not the team. The government's supporting us.
Ritz deactivated our visas. Yeah. So you guys got to get out.
He has a special button he presses in his office.
So look forward to that, everyone. We're going to have some cool episodes from down under leading into a big race down there. So we're very excited for that. But once again, thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And we look forward to seeing you all next week. See you.
Bye-bye.